Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today, and I'm sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. Now, today, I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Lake Schaefer. Lake is actually the author of a new recently published book, Six Toes. Lake actually goes by a pen name, which is E.E. Schaefer. Lake grew up and was educated in southern Indiana, and he's also lived in Illinois and the St. Louis metro area. He now resides in Indiana with his wife, six children, two dogs, and two cats. He has a long addiction to and loves horror and science fiction. Obviously, that comes through in his book. So, including Six Toes, which we're going to be talking about today, from Four Dawn Publications, he has also written the short story Vultures, 2112. Hi, Blake.
Hello, Irene.
Great to have you on Inside Scoop Live. Well, I'm really intrigued with this title, Six Toes. Before we get into what the book is really about and on, you know, some of the topics that surrounding it, tell me about Six Toes.
When I was a child, my older sister had this cat named Misty. The cat was polydactyl, which is defined as having extra digits on each of the hands or paws. My dad used to call the cat Old Six Toes. My junior year in high school, I wrote a short story called Six Toes. Later, I took the title and developed a story for a writing course that I was taking into what became the novel Six Toes, which was a far cry from the original short story that I had written.
So, Six Toes, I understand, is a melding of science fiction and horror.
That is correct.
Let's just go a little bit into the science fiction of this particular book and just explain to us what your book is really about.
Today, you know, there's so much scientific research in question. Every day there's some article or naysayer out there who's embroiled in the heated debate over genetically engineered humans. You can go back far in history and look at scientific experimentation on animals and humans, and it's always cropping back up in the media, on the internet, wherever you look.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about the your story, Six Toes, and then we can take that a little bit further and talk about some of this these genetically modified humans in our society now. So tell us what your story is about.
Well, Six Toes is basically a story about a research facility that is run by a scientist, and it's been commandeered by the U.S. government. And without getting into too much detail and giving too much away about the story, the government comes in and asks the main character in the story, Richard Melton, for the services of his research facility. And through this, the characters start to evolve, and you start to learn about the back history of the story, which leads us to what is actually happening to the main characters, which are children in the story.
Is this fiction or nonfiction?
It is fiction.
Okay, with maybe some touches of reality, you know, when we can go into talking about some of the genetically engineer humans that I understand are in your book. Is this correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so, you know, I've been following some of this, too, and, of course, the controversy is you had mentioned. And what I found, I'm just going to read what I did find, and this is biologist Daniel Koshland of the University of California in Berkeley. He made this statement: "We are facing monumental problems with the population explosion, environmental pollution, the shortage of fossil fuels, and the serious lack of leadership. Should we turn our back on new methodologies that might bring us smarter people and better leaders who are more responsible in their lives?" And so let's go into that direction, because I think that sort of follows to what your book is about. Well, how do you feel about Dr. Koshland's comments?
Well, he makes a very good point. There's always going to be the ethics side of scientific research. I mean, you can go far back in history as you want. You can even look at the 90s when science fiction became science fact with the cloning of a sheep. History has proven that we have tested on other people, and the questions that are coming up today, even as far as is this genetically engineered human thing pliable? You know, people, you know, are wanting to choose the sex of their child, what color their hair is. Many think this is great, but there is also a fear that if we keep messing with the human DNA strand, we're going to mutate what is human. We fear that we'll come to a point that we are no longer human.
So could that be that we could be changed into vampires?
Or zombies? Or
zombies or werewolves? Or
you know, it's possible. You know, you don't know. I mean, as far as, you know, Six Toes goes, it takes place at a research facility. Today, I mean, these pharmaceutical companies are growing, and they've got all these research facilities across the country where they pay us to be their guinea pigs, you know, and that's what, basically what Six Toes is about, you know, scientific experimentation run totally amok.
Well, exactly, and what you're saying is, you know, we are being used now. Look at all the laboratories and drug companies that are paying people to try new drugs. Is that really any different?
It's really not.
Yeah. These people are actually taking the drugs without any research, really. You know, yes, they've been probably, some tests have been done on lab rats and mice and whatever, but now all of a sudden it's going to the human, and really nobody knows what the consequences are going to be in 10 years from now. So is it any different?
It's really not. And in today's economy, people are desperate to make money whichever way they can. So, therefore, they're going to try anything to make a little extra money, too, whether there's a risk involved or not.
Exactly. And speaking to, back to what Dr. Koshland from University of California, Berkeley said, too, that, you know, if we do genetically modify humans eventually here, is it really going to solve any social issues?
I really don't believe that it will solve any social issues. I mean, we might make ourselves smarter, stronger, live longer, but still at the same time, I don't think that the social issues are going to be resolved by this. There's always going to be a new problem surface that we're going to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And so how much research did you actually do in this area when you were writing Six Toes?
I did a lot of in-depth research because, I mean, as a writer, I want my characters, especially the scientific ones, to say plausible stuff that makes sense and that is correct. Now, I might twist the scientific fact a little bit to make it fictional,
right.
You know, and some of the stuff that I do as far as the scientific experimentation might be totally improbable, but with science fiction, there's always the possibility that it will become science fact.
Well, that's been proven over the, you know, many years. What was science fiction, let's say, 30 years ago is reality now. So as doing your research, what did you come across that, wow, you said, wow, aha, this makes sense?
There was so many things that I learned, you know, and I look at the first synthetic version of DNA was created in 1967. And what has happened since then in the scientific world, in the electronic age, has just totally blown our minds. You know, there's always new stuff that's happening. There is so much that happened in the past that is relevant today in the scientific world that we didn't even know existed. We did not even know what was going on. And at the same time, there's research happening today that the people, the public, don't even realize.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, sometimes I feel like saying, gosh, you know, maybe I just don't even want to know. Yet on the other hand, is it really fair for us not to know?
That's what makes horror and science fiction.
So let's talk about the horror. What were some of the horror areas of Six Toes that you wrote about?
I have a long love of horror and science fiction. And as I write, I do tend to meld both the genres together. The horrific part, what makes it a horror story, is yes, I do have some blood and guts in there, but it's very mild. But it's the way that I bring it across and present the story that makes it horrific. And the horrific part about it is the possibilities that are out there that this stuff is going on and has happened in the past.
And so without giving away too much of what is in your book, could you give our listeners just sort of a glimpse into some of what these possibilities are?
Well, number one, this research facility does do a lot of experimentation on cats. And the main character was never fond of the cats. That would be Dr. Richard Melton. The military is the one that brought the cats to him for experimentation, and then later they brought him in humans. Therefore, with this experimentation going on with human and cats, you can expect in your mind what possibly might be happening, because they are dealing with gene engineering. So therefore, you've got the aspect of the scientific engineering going on, and overall, there's a story of young love there, teenage angst. It's a coming of age. I mean, our children today are losing their innocence so fast, and I try to hit on that in my storyline. It was a struggle for me as a teen, so I know what it was like to try to find your way in life, you know, at that age, and that's what it is. It's a coming-of-age story.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I've got a little Frankenstein meets alien in there, meets a genetically engineered human creature. Take away all the surreal in the story, and we simply have our town, a teen finding their way to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Blake Schaefer, and as you have heard so far, Blake is very knowledgeable on the topic of this book, so stay tuned for more. You had mentioned military involvement in your book. In your research, did you find in reality now in 2009-2010, is the military involved in some of the research and modifications that are going on right now?
There's so much information out on the web today that when you go in there and you can look and you can try to find stuff, you don't know what's factual and what's fiction. And the military is not going to let any more information out than they plan on letting the public know. That's as far as the whole UFO thing. I'm sure that there is experimentation like this going on. I mean, stories crop up every day about these strange creatures that have washed up on the beach that look like they've been genetically enhanced. So, I mean, the possibility lies out there.
Yeah, and right now that's all we know it is as a possibility, because if it is real, we're not being told, are we?
That's correct.
So So Six Toes is also about shape-shifting creatures from a different breed and into another. So let's just kind of go into that direction and give us a little backstory on that, too.
Okay, well, I've always, you know, been fond of shapeshifters, whether, you know, it was a werewolf or a vampire-type story. And I actually wrote Six Toes before vampires were getting hot again. But basically, I consider it werecats on acid. So.
Okay. Well, you know, shapeshifting has been around for a long, long time. It's in mythology, it's in folklore, and of course it is in science fiction and fantasy. And, you know, there have been stories written, books written way, way back. And it's interesting how they just never leave us. There is a trend that comes up, and of course, you know, the trend is right now a lot into vampires, especially with the teens. And so why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's this trend that just keeps reoccurring about vampires?
Because I believe that vampires are mysterious in their own right. Anything that can change a shape or form, that's basically what a writer does is he writes. He's becoming somebody else. He becomes his characters. He lives his characters. So, in a way, a writer's a shapeshifter.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And so, what was your experience as a shapeshifter writer?
It was fun. I have an adventure when I write.
Uh-huh.
First of all, when I sit down to write, I try to become each one of my characters. I often sit down and think, how would this individual react at this point? If I can scare myself, I feel that I can scare my reader. If I can make my reader think, they're going to think. I feel like if I can make myself cry, they're going to cry. If I can make myself laugh, they'll laugh. And I've got a little bit of all that weaved into my storyline. It's got its highs and lows.
So when you were writing about the vampires, in your book, Six Toes, did you do any research, or was this just something from what came to you, or how did you come up with the characters?
Well, I didn't want a traditional vampire story. I didn't want an actual vampire. I mean, anything that feeds off of another living creature is often considered a vampire, whether it's a werewolf or a vampire. I went a step further. I went with werecats. There's a lot of werecats in mythology and comic books, but there has not been a whole lot written on the subject of a werecat. And I did do research into vampirism and werewolves and werecats and that sort of things. And if you really go back and look at the history of where the vampire story came from, whether it might be Bram Stoker's Dracula or whatever, I mean, where he got those ideas was from fear of what society had seen during war and bloodshed. So it was actually dwelling on the human being's subconscious fears of war. And war can be very, very, very scary. So I think we look for an escape from the realities in our world within a vampire or a werewolf or a werecat or some type of shape-shifting creature because we would all like to be able to somehow be something different than what we are as humans.
As humans, yeah. So as werecats that you have written about in your book, what makes them different from a werewolf besides the fact that one's a cat and one's a wolf? So is there any difference? Do they carry some of the same characteristics?
They carry some of the same characteristics,
uh-huh.
Other than the fact that I have made my creatures a little bit more human. I give them the ability to reason when they are in their transformed state. They are not a totally different creature. They still have their soul. They still have their human mind. So it's not like they went to this werewolf stage where they're just out on the hunt. but they have to fight that animal instinct the whole time. And we as humans, we are animals. And that's why some humans go out and kill, and they have no conscience about it. Others go out and kill, and we feel remorse. But it's the animalistic side of human nature, which I am trying to bring across in the story.
Now, going to your story then, and, you know, just listening to what you were trying to portray, what's the bottom line message of that of Six Toes, that whole story with the genetic engineering of humans, the bringing in the werecats, the, you know, the science fiction, the horror? What actually is the bottom line message?
The bottom line message that I was trying to portray is we are always going to strive to make ourselves better, and at the same time, we might make mistakes along the way, but we have to learn from our mistakes and not let our mistakes devour us to the point that it's going to destroy human civilization and mankind as we know it.
Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think that as we know humanity right now, this will be destroyed and it will be different because of what is happening in society right now?
I think that we're on a collision course to do things to society that would take a monumental task to correct. But I believe that if we start looking in the right direction and we start making the changes that need to be changed and not argue amongst ourselves, that society as a whole will improve for the whole populace.
Without human engineering.
That is correct.
Do you actually go into your book about cloning or cell manipulation?
I do speak about cell manipulation and DNA to a point. I mean, there are several scenes in the storyline where my scientific researchers are talking about what was done to have caused the main characters to be like they are.
Uh-huh.
And they use a lot of scientific language. Now, I know that there's some readers that don't get that, but I wanted my characters to be factual, not fictional,
uh-huh,
as far as that goes. And I'm not a scientist. I just did a lot of research because I wanted what they said to be factual.
Well, and that's important, regardless if it's a fiction or a nonfiction book. But there's some bottom line that the readers do want facts.
Right.
And, of course, you can manipulate it because it is nonfiction, or pardon me, it's fiction. But, yeah. So is there a sequel to this?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
I have a set date of the end of April, but it looks like I'm running a little bit behind. I've got a whole lot going on with Six Toes Book One right now. I had to do some up change to Six Toes because Six Toes was originally one book, but it was too long. And I tried to trim it, and when I trimmed it out, it was still too long, so I ended up cutting the book at a certain point and said, I'm just going to have to make two books out of this. So what I'm actually in the process of doing now is going back into book two and putting in the scenes that I really loved and didn't want to cut out of the original and put back in. And I'm doing some surprise things with the characters in the story.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that because it does sound like this book definitely needs to be continues with the sequel. So tell us your website address. I know that the listeners will want to get more information about this book. It's been quite an interesting conversation, to say the least.
Yes. My website address is B.E. Schaefer, S-C-H-A-F-E-R, books.com.
B is in
boy. E is in Edward.
Schaefer, C-H-A-F as in Frank, E-R, books.com.
That is correct.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Blake, for spending this time with us. I find this all really fascinating to talk about, and I'm glad that you were able to give us a little bit more information in the reality and all the research that you actually did, even though it was for a fiction book. Thank you very much, and I really wish you success with Six Toes and looking forward to your sequel.
Thank you so much, Irene. I enjoyed the time to spend with you.
Listeners, there you have it. It's always exciting to be talking to authors that have researched controversial topics such as this one for their book, and then in turn are able to share it with us. And hey, if you're interested in the possibility of genetically engineered humans, vampires, werewolves, and with the addition of werecats, Six Toes is obviously the book for you. Again, Blake, thank you so much for taking the time with us and giving us a glimpse into your book. And hey, the possibility of genetically engineered humans, who knows, maybe it is a reality. I'm your host, Irene Watson. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.